yards and my ears got sweaty. So you know what it's like as in your background, Chris. I mean, singer, guitar player, everything from sound and recording. After a while, you just got to have your ears give a little bit of a break.
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure. Like, so what are you telling me? You want to move this interview?
Well, no. I'm just saying that's it. Thanks for picking up the phone, and best of luck to you. No.
Okay. Thanks. Perfect.
Hey, man. The last time we chatted was you had that release.
Yeah.
My God, it must have been in March. Was it not in March we chatted?
About May.
Was it May?
It was. Well, no. You know what? Let me think about this. Yeah, the album came out right around my birthday, so May, the single. So it was like late May, early June, probably. Yeah. And I believe we chatted around when it came out.
Yeah, because we weren't. Because I remember, because this whole COVID thing really messed us up. Because I remember,
well, the space-time continuum is completely messed up. So yeah. It was sometime in the last 8 months that we talked, and I put out a record, and it's, you know, how many months ago it was now is almost irrelevant, really, because doesn't matter right now.
It does. But it was funny because in our conversation, I distinctly remember you and I, as I was setting up Stupid Stuff gear and everything, I was talking on the phone. And I said, yeah, I've been getting all these phone calls from people who are just wrapping up tours and they want to go back out. And they're being told that they can't really play anymore and they're not sure when they're ever going to play again. And you said, do you think it's going to be that bad? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't even know. We've never experienced this. Like, we don't even know how to behave or what to do. And then now it's like we're in February of 2021. Right?
It's still happening.
And it's still happening. So it's been a while since we chatted about everything. But I was telling you before we started the interview, I said the reason why I wanted to chat with you again was, you know, just touch base. But I had this incredible conversation with my buddy Jamie Tennant over at CFMU. And we're chatting online and just about music and programming, that sort of stuff. And he was saying, you know, I've done like 25 hours of Hamilton music at the CNC disc that we've done over the last 10 years that we started. And we were like throwing, hey, remember this band, remember that band. And it was like, yeah, Who's Your Poet was great. And I said, yeah, I was always a big fan of Navy. I always loved that track. And we're rattling off bands and he goes, oh yeah, Not Of. And he goes, and The Customaires. And I went, what? Who?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I couldn't figure it out. And he said, oh, yeah, Chris and Mike and Nick. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, we played at Hollywood a few times.
Yeah, but it was like, it was 2014. And now I'm like, and then I didn't know this. Like, I was like, that. And then I start doing the math. I'm like, going, that's 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Can
about the Customaires. And it was like a band that I.
So, first of all, Stoffer's like, are you saying Customaires?
Well, it was, that's what I'm saying.
That's okay. We're going to change the name of the band to The Customaires.
But yeah. Well, this is the way the conversation was going. It was like,
Like
what? Who? Right?
Yeah.
Like,
what? You know, right.
Like 2014 was like such a long time ago and I didn't know the band existed.
Yeah. Well, nobody did. I mean, we didn't really do a whole hell of a lot. We made a record pretty much in private and, put it out, made CDs and put it out and played some shows and stuff, but we never really had much in the way of traction.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing we did was we opened for Limlifter at Hollywood one night, which is awesome. And we played with Not Of a couple times and, you know, we did some nice gigs around Hamilton, but we really never really went beyond that.
Okay, so
we played in Toronto a couple times, but
yeah. So it wasn't a band that wasn't like it. For me, it's like to me, I get a little bit pissy with myself because I try to follow Hamilton music because I was always that guy, right?
Yeah.
And then I was just like, this slipped through. So how do you say the name of the band? Because I have it down as Customaries.
Yeah, Customaries.
But that was then. I said, no, that can't be how you say that one. Customaries? Wouldn't make it. So where? How does this name come about? Like, let's just take it right back to before 2014. You, your brother, and Nick. Why did you just get together? Were you bored, or was it like another?
Well, it was. You know, I was. like it had been a while since I had been in a band and writing with other people. And one night I was at the Casbah, and I don't know why, but I was there. I believe, I don't know if I was working or not, because I don't think I was working there at that time anymore. But he was there. We were there. We were just hanging out, me and Nick. And yeah. I was just like, yeah, you know, like, let's jam. I got some tunes. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So we just basically had a discussion and decided we were going to start jamming again. And then Mike wasn't even a part of conversation. And then a couple days later, I was somewhere. I can't remember. And I ended up having some text messages with Mike. And I said, hey, Nick Dalio's interested in starting this thing. Do you want to do it too? And so he was, he agreed. And so at that point I just, you know, at first I was like, I want this band to be like a full on collaboration thing where everybody contributes musically, like from a writing standpoint. It's like, I don't want to just
be you,
make it like me writing all the songs and you guys learning songs, blah, blah, blah. So let's all try and give it the old college try and write, you know, try and push and write some cool stuff so that it isn't just sound like Chris Bell wrote a bunch of riffs and now Nick and Mike are playing bass on it.
Sure.
You know, so we tried that as best we could, and everybody, you know, it did sort of lean towards me writing a lot of the stuff just because it's my nature once I start a project like that to just really fall into the wormhole of writing.
To get into it, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, we then, and that's how it started. So we started jamming and started writing songs and worked towards making a record. Well, I'm grateful for the things you say. Running late. Hard to say.
to do, because you had like, it's a 10 song. It's not an EP by any means.
Yeah, it's a full record. It didn't take that long. We had, I don't know, a year or so. We played and jammed and got the stuff together and played some shows and stuff. And basically, I just decided once we got to a certain number of songs, I was like, well, let's just start recording, because we had a space in Burlington that was like sort of the S&S Smith & Smith comedy, Red Green.
Oh, my
guys.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. So their son, Max, who was kind of, he's a part of the company and helps run the company and stuff. He's a buddy, and like he was with Sons of Butcher, and Nick and I were both associated with the Sons of Butcher guys.
Sure.
And so Max like said, basically, like, if you want to bring your gear, all your studio stuff in here, like, he offered to basically let me bring all of my studio gear and all of my equipment and jam in there and set up a little studio set up in there. Well, it's actually kind of big. He's like, yeah, go ahead. And so I did, obviously. And so we had the run of this, like, it was right on the service road in Burlington.
Right.
And it was just at night we could go there at any time and just make as much noise as we wanted to. And we recorded the record in there.
So you kind of lucked out with the friend group, the circle of like, okay, go ahead, do it, that sort of thing. That's very rare that you hear something like that. It's always like,
oh, I know,
it like costs money, but you had all your own gear.
Gear costs money over time. It wasn't like a massive expense for us to make the customer's record, which is sort of really why it happened, because we had the ability and the stuff to basically just try to record it on our own and really, really do it from a grassroots place,
So just to backtrack quickly, did you just say customers or did you say customaries?
No, I said customaries.
Okay. Just double checking. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
You want to know how to say the name of the band.
I want
to. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, but it does matter. It matters to me, mister. Right. Cause I'm like this afternoon I was interviewing Los Chocos, and I was interviewing the Red River Riot Club band and other people. And in between, I'm like, I'm listening to the disc on Bandcamp.
Right.
And I'm like going, oh, all right. This is when you do that thing, you're like going, well, is this kind of like songs that were possibly in Chore, or was this another side project? Because you've had a lot of different, heavier sounding stuff, and then you've had, some of the lighter stuff that you've done over the years. So I was trying to figure out where the possible influences were coming from. Like, is this a pickup of a Don Vale song, or is this, and you try to find out the uniqueness of the sound of that band, but it's very hard when you're listening to something, you go, wow, this was like just 10 songs that three friends put together, or brother duo and a friend. Like, what's the backstory? Is it thematical? Like from one, through 1 to 10, like these songs?
No, it's, like the songs were written, I think we started with, I already had a few songs that I wanted to introduce to the guys, and that's how we got going. And then as we got on a roll, the writing started to, come quicker. And once I saw what it was going to sound like, it was a lot easier for me to sort of write songs that I felt like would be suitable or would be great with the three of us or whatever. And that's really where it just snowballed from us getting together to jam to me basically, us writing songs that, felt, there was no, this needs to be weirder, or this needs to be heavier, or this needs to be not as heavy. There was none of that. It was just like, let's just write these songs and let's not try to think about it too much. And, let's make them fun to play.
So was that at no point that you were you fighting against the comparisons of previous projects, that sort of thing?
No, I don't think so, because, it was pretty straight ahead rock compared to Chore. Chore had some pretty straightforward songs, at times, but this band, there wasn't really any of the weird timing, metal-y type influences at all. It was very like coming from a place of like the Posies and Sugar and that kind of stuff. Those were the that kind of music, those kinds of bands were the ones that I really, really got into when I was really like learning what I liked about music and writing and, sure. you know, like Copper Blue and Frosting on the Beater,
you know, and
yeah, like that kind of stuff. And that really was my attempt at like, you know what, I really want to just try to go down that path of like, I just want to write really great melodic heavy songs that if I heard them, I would think they were cool.
So around 2014, you guys put this together. Time goes by, and you release it November 11th, I'm reading here, in 2015. And then what happens? Is it just a couple of shows, maybe some college play, maybe, you know, you're doing Rick Taylor's show or something. I don't know.
We did. I think, you know, honestly, when the record came out, we did a CD release show and at the Casbah with Don Vale, I believe, played, and I can't remember who else. We did some shows, and we didn't have a heavy online presence, you know, which is something that I think at that time and now more so than ever, you know, is something that you need to be able to do in order to get people to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, like, you know, Chore was a band that was a band a long time ago. You know, like, we did a reunion show 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, it's like, so people that were into Chore just aren't around in Hamilton really anymore. And if
they've grown up. They're all
grown up, and they have kids, and they don't go to shows.
And they don't go to shows. Yeah. That's called life. Life moves forward, right? So
So that, you know, there was no translation over from, you know, other than Friends that were still in bands, you know.
In 2015, were you still touring? Was that around the time that you started doing shows, like working for Wintersleep? You weren't even in the band at the time.
Yeah, so that was sort of the end of the tail end of Customaries, where I got asked in the summer of 2016, I think it was, to go. Tim Dion from Wintersleep called me and said, "Hey, man, we're doing these summer festivals and we need a guy to come and do sound and, you know, and it's not, you know, no big obligations or anything like that. We just, you know," and I was like, yeah, because we had spoken and kept in touch over texts the years previous. And I said, you know, if you guys ever need somebody to fill in, do that kind of stuff again, you know, I'd love to come back and have another crack at it.
Right.
Which I did. And so he was like, oh yeah, you know, so we've got all this. So I went and met them in Kingston and did a show with them outside in the square in downtown Kingston. And then it turned into, oh yeah, you're going to come to this next show. And then, oh, you're going to come to this next show. We got all these shows. We're doing all these festivals. We're going to fly all the country this summer.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, here I am back on the train. And then as we were doing those festivals, September came, and then there was a Europe tour. And it just snowballed into me being back in the Wintersleep camp. And then during that Europe tour, they basically asked me, like, if when we get back to Canada, would you be interested?
Right.
You know, joining the band.
Joining the band, yeah.
Player. Yeah. And I said, yeah, of course I would. So, and then once that started, there was little.
Then the extreme. Time. Yeah. Then the Chris Bell crapping begins, where he's nervous as all hell on stage. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was that for a while.
Yeah.
But like, what it really did was it made me have to rebalance my musical life to my family life, and you know, Customaries kind of had to go.
Table. I'll read.
something had to go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If I was gonna be in Winter Sleep when I was home, I wasn't gonna be in another band.
No, there's no. It's not fair to anybody. You know.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go where the money is and to keep things going, especially when you got a kid and a family and the whole nine yards. Hey, yeah, it's Gunner. Sure. It's Steel City Music, and I'm hanging out talking with Chris Bell, one of the founding members of a band. One of the greatest rock bands that ever came out in 2014 that I completely forgot about, the Customaries. Right. it's just so funny. And then, when I was listening to the album today, I'm going, I wonder if I could con them into doing a show when things start to open up again. I know Nick could do it, Mike could do it. You know?
Yeah. Well, we could do it. We'd have to relearn. We need some time. Don't ask us to do a show a week out.
No,
we're far away.
It's funny because in all seriousness, when I listened to this album, I went, another one of these ones that are really good. Kind of why didn't this work? That's why I wanted to chat with you and get the backstory on all of this. Right, honestly believe, and it's a foolish, not a foolish notion, but I really wish in some point in my life where I could just put together a small record label of artists, of albums like this, where it's like, did you know that this album existed and this was this band and this was their sound out of Hamilton, Ontario, right? Because, I mean, people just buy stuff online anyway, right? But, I kind of still have a little hope for a lot of Hamilton bands for guys who are in their 40s.
Right? Yeah.
Because I turn around and go, bad dates.
Yeah.
Right. Even to this day, Adrian Murchison says to me, he goes, I don't get it. I don't know how this happened, but there's a label and they like us and they're putting our music out. And I'm like, boy, you didn't see that coming, eh? And he's like, no, not at all. I thought everything I did was done when I was in my 20s.
That's
cool. And I think, and when I hear stories like that of here's their style of music, independent music, and someone is starting up a label and goes, I think more people should hear this and they should buy this. And that's why I would always like to have a catalog of Hamilton music of what was, just so people could have a reference point of, hey, here's a cool little band that you didn't know about. Right.
Every band I've ever played in could be on that label.
Right.
Cool little band you never heard about.
Yeah. And I think I'm probably going to do it.
You should.
I could
be your whole catalog. Live and Living, Customaries,
it would be
Chore.
Yeah, it would be great,
My solo records, nobody knows any of those.
Those are good. I'll do it. I'll put together a little. It's easy. I just got to get my Bandcamp account flying and just load it all up.
That's all it takes.
I don't need to make any money from it. Whatever money comes through, the bands can take the money because we all know how much you're going to make.
It's good that you don't need to because you're not going to make
You're not going to make it, buddy. Don't bank the mortgage payment on this one, I tell you.
No. Yeah. Don't. Don't.
Don't. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time out to chat with me and give me a little bit of a backstory and all this stuff and to how to say the name properly after all day of listening to it. Customaries.
No problem,
and
thanks for asking me this many years later. I appreciate it.
Hey man, someone's got to chat about it, Hey, this is all Jamie Tennant. He's the one who threw me down the music well today. So, he's a great dude. So
yes.
We'll thank him, man. Thanks a lot for the interview.
Hey, this is Chris Bell from the band Customaries that you've never heard of. You can go on Bandcamp and see our record there and potentially buy it if you want. Bandcamp, check it out. Customaries.
what'll it be?
Everything.
What do you mean?
Long in the short places, short in the long places. It should be from both the future and the past. Something a child would do to a doll.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Decide on measures.
you back that up with the idea that just playing those great songs in your great live band is enough reward for you, then you're f***ing set. But you gotta be badass. You just have to be really good.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Ways to keep this on its way to keep. This is CIOY 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
We're the last philosophers. Everybody now that talks is reading from a pre-approved script. You know, even our alleged smart people, you know, are corporately controlled, you know. So there's only one group of people that kind of say what they want to say. Stand-ups.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
And your host, Gunner, in this set of music, the big extenda of tracks. Like, this entire show is pretty much that, basically, different styles. Well, mostly different styles, but we'll get into that as we get along. You'll hear some Delight, some Yes, some Kate Bush, some Talk Talk coming up on the back end. But in this set, Depeche Mode, the V1 extended mix, pretty epic. Everything counts. Big, huge hit for Depeche Mode. Now, Eurythmics, a track that I've never spun before, and I just kind of fell in love again. I think it's because of this 80s kick, because of some requests that I got. I started delving into stuff. And Love is a Stranger, the Eurythmics, huge, huge, huge song. But kicking things off, a song that I love, love song from Simple Minds. It's the Extended Devotion Mix. If you were a kid in the 80s and this was on the air, you'd be dancing in your bedroom. I know I was. Kinda. Trying to? Maybe? Sure, why not?
Oh,